Leader of the Islamic Revolution advises presidential candidates to be honest and accurate with nation. Tehran hosts Friends of Syria conference with participation of representatives from 40 countries. Syrian foreign minister denounces EU for allowing arms to be sent to rebels in Syria. Iran reiterates that country's peaceful nuclear activities are under IAEA full supervision. And Tehran condemns U.S. senator's trip to Syria to meet rebels as clear interference in Damascus internal affairs. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to the late edition of IRIN in English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has called on all presidential candidates to be honest with people and tell the truth in their campaigns. Addressing the members of Iran's parliament or Majlis on Wednesday, Ayatollah Khamenei stated that the words of presidential candidates must be real, friendly, and based on accurate and true information. The leader underscored that everybody should try for elections to be held in a lively manner with public participation. Ayatollah Khamenei pointed out that lively elections would ensure the immunity, strength, and security of the country and would also dispel enemy threats. The leader further underlined that there are good and sound regulations for all stages of election in Iran, and there has been no deadlock in any stage of the polls. The leader added that presidential hopefuls expressed their adherence to the law in their interviews and exhibited this adherence to the law after the approved candidates were announced. Ayatollah Khamenei also appreciated all the candidates, especially those who were not approved by the Guardian Council. Iran is hosting the Friends of Syria conference in the capital Tehran with the participation of representatives from 40 countries. The event, which is held under the banner of Political Solution, Regional Stability, seeks to find a political solution to the crisis in Syria. Officials from 40 countries, as well as heads of regional and international organizations, are expected to attend the conference. According to reports, Iraqi Foreign Minister, Algerian Foreign Minister, Oman's Deputy Foreign Minister, former Lebanese President and Minister of Defense and National Service of Tanzania took part in the event. Iran has already held two other meetings on the crisis in the country. Addressing the participants in the same conference, the Iranian Foreign Minister warned against attempts to further fuel the deadly unrest in Syria. Ali Akbar Salehi said such moves will inflict irreparable damage on the international system. Salehi added that an increase in violence and bloodshed in Syria and delay in the process of the political resolution of the current crisis is neither in the interest of Syria's neighboring countries nor the region and the world. He added that Iran denounces financial and military support by certain parties for irresponsible armed groups in Syria and condemns the fueling of religious and sectarian strife. Meanwhile, the Iranian Foreign Minister outlined the Islamic Republic's measures taken so far aimed at ending the ongoing violence in Syria. Salehi also reminded that the Islamic Republic has always backed all regional and international efforts with emphasis on the need to find a political solution to Syria crisis. The Iranian diplomat added that Tehran welcomes Russian efforts to hold an international conference to discuss the Syria issue and considers it a step forward in dealing with the crisis. The Syrian government has slammed the EU decision to lift the arms embargo on foreign-backed militants in Syria. The Syrian Foreign Ministry said on Wednesday that the recent EU decision proves they are hindering the international efforts aimed at achieving a political settlement to the crisis in Syria based on national dialogue among Syrians. On Monday, British Foreign Secretary William Hague said that European Union foreign ministers meeting in Brussels have reached an agreement to lift the arms embargo on militants in Syria. In the meantime, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has criticized a U.S.-backed anti-Syria draft resolution which has been put to debate by the UN Human Rights Council. describing the resolution as odious and unilateral. Lavrov said on Wednesday that Washington's vigorous promotion of the resolution is unhelpful, warning that the resolution would undermine a joint U.S.-Russian initiative to hold a peace conference on Syria. The draft resolution, sponsored by Qatar and Turkey, condemns what it calls Syria's use of foreign combatants in the fight against militants.
From the very beginning of this conflict, we have repeatedly and persistently warned about attempts to internationalize it. Despite this, the stream of militants from abroad has grown consistently. The flow of weapons, which has been received by the militants, has also grown. And now the cancellation of arms embargo makes for a situation which is even more complicated. At a minimum, it creates very serious obstacles for convening an international conference on Syria.
The Syrian army has launched an attack against foreign-backed militants to clear them out from the suburbs of the capital, Damascus. Heavy clashes are reported in Beit Sam and Sayyidi Mikdad in the suburbs of the capital, where Syrian forces attacked foreign-backed rebels. This comes while the army has recently secured important advances and victories in different areas and inflicted major losses on the foreign-backed militants in the strategic city of Al-Qusair. According to the reports, the Syrian soldiers now control 80% of the town, a former militant stronghold in the central province of Homs. Syrian troops have retaken the control of Qusair's military airport as well as several key districts and buildings, including the headquarters of the Ba'ath Party. And now a recap of our top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution advises presidential candidates to be honest and accurate with the nation. Tehran hosts Friends of Syria conference with participation of representatives from 40 countries. Syrian foreign minister denounces EU for allowing arms to be sent to rebels in Syria. Iran reiterates that country's peaceful nuclear activities are under IAEA full supervision. And Tehran condemns U.S. Senator's trip to Syria to meet rebels as clear interference in Damascus internal affairs. Iran's head of the Atomic Energy Organization has stressed that the country's peaceful nuclear activities are under full supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency, that is the IAEA. Speaking to reporters on Wednesday, Fereydoun Abbasi reiterated that Iran's peaceful nuclear activities are transparent and the Islamic Republic never does, did, or will do anything secretly. Abbasi clarified that Tehran is carrying out its peaceful nuclear activities according to the schedule which has been presented to the IAEA. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman has condemned U.S. Senator John McCain's visit to Syria to meet with the rebels, saying the measure is clear meddling in Syrian internal affairs. Abbas Araghchi said the U.S. Senator's illegal entry into Syria and his meeting with the commanders of the armed groups fighting the government of Syria is against American claims of seeking a political solution to the Syrian crisis. He went on to describe U.S. tactics as being indicative of its double standard policies and disregard of international efforts for holding a conference in Geneva on the situation in Syria. McCain, who advocates arming foreign-sponsored militants, crossed into Syria from Turkey on May 27 to meet with militant leaders in the country. At least one security guard has been killed and several others injured, including a foreign national, after Taliban militants targeted a Red Cross office in the volatile eastern Afghanistan city of Jalalabad. Initial reports from Afghan security officials said the Wednesday attack followed a large explosion. Witnesses said the Red Cross building was on fire shortly after the blast and gunfire could be heard. No person or group has yet claimed responsibility for the attacks. However, Taliban militants are usually blamed for similar attacks. Pakistan has condemned the recent U.S. assassination drone strike, which claimed the lives of 7 people, saying that the drone attacks by the U.S. violate Pakistani territorial integrity. The deadly attack, which was the first of such strikes since the country's May 11 general elections, took place on Wednesday after U.S. drones fired 2 missiles at a house near North Waziristan's Miranshah. Earlier on Friday, Pakistan's foreign ministry voiced opposition to ongoing CIA-operated drone strikes. The ministry said the attacks claimed the lives of civilians and are in breach of international law, Pakistan's sovereignty, and territorial integrity. Over the past several years, Washington has been launching drone attacks on Muslim countries, including Pakistan, Somalia, and Yemen, claiming that militants are the targets. However, casualty figures clearly indicate that civilians are the main victims. Official data show the number of Germans without work has climbed by 21,000 in May, which was 4 times more than economists' forecasts. The Federal Labor Office revealed on Wednesday its seasonally adjusted unemployment rate, which showed that 2.96 million Germans are without work. This comes while the analysts had predicted 5,000 more job losses by May. May was the 4th straight month of gains for Germany. In April, the seasonally adjusted level rose by 4,000 to 2.84 million. Germany's economic decline has severely affected the European Union since 2009. French National Statistics Bureau, INSEE, says the country's consumers' confidence has fallen sharply, hitting the lowest level since the height of the financial crisis in 2008. INSEE revealed that the index fell 4 points in May to 79, staying well below its long-term average of 100 and lower than economists' forecast of 85. The level is also equal to the lowest level reached in 1987. The statistics agency, which conducted the survey earlier this month, said French households were worried about the outlook of their living standards as well as the current state of the economy. Regarding the country's unemployment rate, the report also showed that more people believe the current jobless level of 11% will continue to increase in the future. And finally, despite slight economic improvements in the United States and rebounding Japan, the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development cuts global growth forecasts, describing situation in Europe as fragile.
It is true that most OECD countries actually have heavy public debt burdens. It is also true that we've gone through several years of painful tightening. But it is also true that precisely thanks to these efforts, many countries need only limited additional adjustment to put their public finances back on track. Today, we're still confronted with an outlook that remains weak and a recovery that continues to be hesitant and uneven across countries and regions.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and English News. Join us tomorrow for the latest updates. Goodbye now.